Downer is very proud to bring this podcast series to you. At Downer, our purpose is to provide the vital services that connect communities and enable them to thrive. We do this by assembling the best minds, harnessing the power of technology and our enduring relationships to deliver sustainable outcomes for all.
My name is Joe Taranto and I'm joined today by Mark Newland, the Technical Director for Water at Downer, and we're talking about membrane bioreactors. Thanks for joining me, Mark.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for the opportunity.
What is a membrane bioreactor?
Well, an MBR is a combination of a biological process and a membrane filtration process. So the bioreactor part refers to the biological process. And in that process, we use activated sludge, it's called, which is basically a diverse population of naturally occurring microorganisms. And they use the pollutants in wastewater as their food source. But most of those organisms need oxygen, and so we aerate the bioreactor or activate it. And that's where the name comes from. But in one form or another, activated sludge has been around since the early 1900s. But what we've done with the membrane bioreactor, we've added the membrane filtration part, and that refers to the use of plastic-type polymer membranes that we can use to separate the treated water from that activated sludge. And we draw out that treated water called permeate with a pump. So when you compare an MBR to a conventional activated sludge process, the membranes are doing the clarification and the tertiary filtration steps.
Mark, you've been in the industry for over 35 years. Technology's changed a lot. When did Downer first start investigating MBRs?
Well, the MBRs, the technology was somewhat of a step change in the industry in the early 2000s. And we first started to have a look at the adoption of membranes in 2002, 2003. There were very few reference plants in the world. It was quite early in the commercialisation stage worldwide at that time, and very few suppliers as well. Our first MBR was a plant at Victor Harbour in South Australia, which we designed in 2003. It was commissioned in 2005, and at the time it was only the second MBR in Australia, and by far the largest. It has a dry weather capacity of about 5 megalitres per day. Victor Harbour was a plant that used flat plate type of membranes, but subsequent to doing that project, we started to look more closely at another type of membranes called hollow fibre membranes, and they're the ones that we've used extensively since 2005.
Are there specific advantages of a membrane bioreactor?
Yes, it's interesting to reflect on the advantages of the MBR and how these have driven the adoption of the technology over the years. In the early 2000s, the initial selling point for MBRs was that they were quite compact. They needed less space than a conventional treatment plant design. And that was quite an important selling point in other countries like Europe, and didn't seem to be so important in Australia because most of our treatment plants had a reasonable amount of space. But if you fast forward through 20 years of population growth in Australia, it's quite common that we're now finding treatment plants that are constrained and they just don't have the space for expansion of the conventional process. So that advantage of the MBR being compact is really, really important in this day and age.
Do MBRs use more power and therefore cost more to operate?
MBR membranes, if you think about what they have to do, it's quite a difficult job. They have to perform day after day, year after year, filtering clean water out of what's effectively a bacterial soup. It's a pretty tough ask, and to sustain that filtration, it's necessary to keep the membranes relatively clean, and that's done with intense agitation, or what's called air scouring. And that uses power to run blowers. But it's true to say that the first generation of MBR membranes required high rates of aeration, and they did use quite a lot of power. But most of the membrane suppliers are now on to their third or fourth generation of designs. And we've seen significant improvements, not only in the flux rates or the filtration rates that can be achieved, but probably a halving in the amount of aeration that's required as well. So, you know, power consumption is much less of an issue these days than it used to be. And when you look at the other requirements for the MBR, like the pumping and so on, we make sure we're efficient with minimising pumping head, minimising flows whenever we can. We only operate the membranes when they need to operate. We let the bioreactor level rise and fall slightly. When you put all that together, the membrane system's only actually operating for perhaps 8 or 10 hours a day. And MBRs are not using any more power, in some cases less power than a conventional plant.
And what about the building process? Is it more expensive to build than a conventional treatment plant?
The short answer to that question is no. They're actually cheaper. An MBR requires much lower quantities of materials, you know, the big ticket items like concrete and steel, earthworks. They're quicker to build, they require less labour because the time frames are shorter. So there's cost and sustainability advantages for the MBR. And if I think about my time in the industry, we've seen a couple of periods where construction costs have escalated substantially. The first of those periods was in the first mining boom around 2006 to 2010. And just more recently, in sort of the post-COVID time, you know, treatment plant costs have practically doubled on both those occasions. But in the meantime, membrane costs have been reducing. We're paying less than a half, probably in fact 70% less for membranes than we did in the early days. So your construction costs are going up, membrane costs have come down. When you put all of those things together, we invariably find that an MBR is costing less than a conventional process. And we actually think that balance tipped in favour of MBRs about 10 years ago. And it's only getting, the difference is only increasing, the benefit's only getting more.
And in terms of maintenance, do you have to replace the membranes, and how long do they last?
That's been improving over time as well. Initially, the membrane suppliers were offering warranties of 3 to 5 years. Now you can expect a warranty that will be for 10 years. So as the industry worldwide and the membrane manufacturers have gained that experience and that operating timeframes have been longer, then also as they've improved the membranes themselves, the being prepared to back their product with longer warranties. So, of course, you have to factor in that replacement cost into your O&M budgets and also into the initial considerations around NPV. But even so, you know, MBRs are still proving to be cheaper than a conventional process.
You're listening to the Australian Water Association podcast series, and I'm speaking with Mark Newland from Downer. Do plant operators require lots of additional training, or is it a complicated thing to run one of these plants?
At first glance, an MBR does look rather complex compared to a conventional plant, you know, compared to a clarifier or a tertiary filter, a media filter. But most aspects of operating an MBR are no different than a conventional plant. The membrane filtration operation is fully automated. It really runs quite trouble-free. Operators are invariably delighted that they no longer have to worry about biomass settleability, for example, because you're filtering the solution, you're not relying on it settling in a clarifier. And as most people in the industry would know, clarifiers can be somewhat fickle at times in their performance. So in our experience, you know, no one operating an MBR has ever wanted to go back again. And in fact, we've even had operators who've leapfrogged from their 60s and 70s trickling filter process plants onto MBRs, and they've simply not missed a beat. They're very happy.
You've seen a lot in 20 years of designing and building these. What are the key things that you've learnt?
I think it's fair to say that over the years we've got most things right, but there are certainly some good lessons in both our Downer and the water industry toolkits. A few key ones we would include are such things as the importance of having robust fine screening up front. Down to 2 millimetres is critical. And we've certainly had experiences with certain types of screens that are not as reliable as others. Another important lesson is not to feed a membrane tank from one end and take the water out the other, because that over-concentrates the activated sludge. And so some of the membranes are having to work a lot harder than others. Don't be too aggressive when choosing the membrane flux rates. The industry had a period for a few years, probably around 2010, when suppliers who at that stage still didn't have a lot of real-world experience, they seemed to be sort of jumping over each other, offering higher and higher flux rates, just simply to win orders at the time. And to be honest, it got a bit out of control, but everyone's pulled back now and been much more reasonable. And at the end of the day, as I mentioned with regards to the membrane costs coming down, the membranes as a proportion of the total project cost is only a small fraction. It's 5 or 10%. And so there's no point pushing that to the limit with, you know, trying to put the least amount of membrane area in for the lowest cost, because it's really a small impost to build in some extra flexibility in that regard. And lastly, on you know, lessons learned, and very importantly, we think it's necessary to be cognizant that not all MBR membranes are the same. And you really need to make a selection based on technical attributes and track record, not simply based on cost. That's been our approach, and I think that's very important.
Like any technology, there's bound to be more innovation. What's next for MBRs?
I think we'll continue to see development. We'll see more membrane area in the same footprint. We'll see lower aeration requirements. We'll see improved flux rates. Apart from the membranes themselves, we're continuing to improve the integration of the membranes with the biological process, and we continue to achieve better effluent quality with respect to nitrogen and phosphorus. I think with time and with some more operating experience, I'd expect to see acceptance by regulators of higher LRVs, which stands for log removal values for viruses and other pathogens. And if we can get higher credit for the MBR process, then that's going to reduce the cost of water recycling schemes. And finally, I think adoption of MBR technology for upgrading of existing plants will become commonplace, as it just makes so much sense from a sustainability, cost, space, effluent quality and ease of operation perspective.
I've been speaking with Mark Newland, the Technical Director for Water at Downer. Thanks so much for your insights today, Mark.
Thank you, Jo. That's great.